You're listening to episode 31 of the Business by Intuition podcast. Welcome to the Business by Intuition podcast. I'm your host, Krista Bauer, online business strategist, heartfelt copywriter, and kind marketing mentor for sensitive solopreneurs. If you're an online entrepreneur who wants to create a business led by your intuition, not the loud mainstream advice that's out there, then light a candle, diffuse your favorite oil, and let's talk about how we can make the process of creating a heart-driven business both simple and fulfilling. Enjoy the show. Have you written a sales page, or do you have copy on your website and you're wondering, is it speaking or resonating with the right audience? Are you left wondering if you're clearly and effectively articulating the incredible value of your offer with the right people? In today's episode, I want to give you some high-level tips and things to think about to help you critique and review your own sales pages or any copy on your website. Most of the tips that I'm going to give you will apply. So before I get into the tips, probably the most popular one-to-one service that I offer and that clients request the most from me is my sales page copy critique. And this is a service where I take a sales page. It can be in its rough draft form, whether that's in a Google Doc or a Word document, or maybe it's a sales page that already exists on your website that you want to revamp and have me look at, or maybe it's one that is there, but it's not yet published. I have many clients who will hire me to review their sales page and give them actionable tips and feedback and suggestions they can make to help them understand if what they're saying in their sales page is clearly articulating the value of their offer to the right people. And the other piece to that is also just kind of getting reassurance that, yes, you're doing this correctly, and here's what you can keep, and here are some tweaks and fixes that you can make to help you improve the clarity and the resonance of what it is that you're writing. So I've done quite a few of these now, and as I'm going through someone's sales page, I've kind of got my marketing hat on, so as if I'm coming in from a copywriting perspective, but more importantly, I have my client's ideal client's hat on, so I'm coming in from the perspective of someone's ideal client, and that's what I kind of want to help you with here today. You're going to want to wear your copywriting marketing hat as you're reviewing your sales page, and then you're going to want to do it again from the ideal client perspective. But in order to do that, the very first thing that you must do is you must clearly identify who it is that you're speaking to. So when you're writing a sales page, it's really helpful. You may have multiple people that you can serve, all kinds of people that your offering or your service can help and can support. But when you're writing a service page, it's really helpful to be able to narrow down and hone in on that one sort of person who would be the most ideal fit for your services. It doesn't mean that you're excluding anyone. It just means that you're getting really clear for one person so that the sales copy can be much more resonant, and it can also help you engage more of the right people when you can clearly speak and articulate your offer to the person who truly would benefit from it the most. So that's the first step. And when I'm doing this with clients, I give them a questionnaire. They have to fill out a series of questions before I can, you know, even attempt the work that I need to do on my end. And it doesn't matter if we're working on a project together and then they have me critique another page. It's the same questionnaire, because for every offer, there may be a slightly different audience. There's different nuances to your offering, and I want to make sure that I can come at it from a clear angle. So you want to be thinking about that as well. Don't just assume that every sales page is going to be for the same person. You really want to spend the time to understand who you are speaking to so that you can do that as clearly as possible. So you could do what I do. I send my clients a Google form and a questionnaire, and they fill it out, and I then analyze the data that they send back. So then I can conduct my own research. So that's what you're going to want to do as well, is you're going to want to think about who it is that you're speaking to, so you can just write up, you know, some ideas about who your ideal client is, where they're at, what their problems are, how your offering supports them. Or you can even create your own questionnaire, and you can, you know, just fill this out every time you need to write a sales page so that you're clear about who it is that you're speaking to. I often do this for my own sales pages, so I have like a starting point for when it comes time to write. So So the second one, and this is really important, is you're going to want to review your sales page through the eyes of your ideal audience. As I mentioned in the beginning of this episode, if you have some copywriting knowledge or you have some marketing knowledge and you are familiar with sales pages and things to include, come through it with that angle as well. You know, you can come through it with more of an editor's perspective so that you make sure that everything is kind of clear, the sentences are structured properly, spelling and editing and those things are taken care of. But from an ideal audience perspective, I really want you to get inside the mind of your ideal client and put yourself back in their shoes. One of the biggest struggles and challenges that a lot of my clients face, and it happens to me as well, is oftentimes we are coaching people through a modality, or we're using modalities, we're coaching them through a problem, something that we have already overcome. Oftentimes the things that we're teaching people are things that we've struggled with or we've been trained on, and now we are, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 steps ahead of where our ideal clients are at. The problem with that, it's great because you're in a great, wonderful position to pass on your knowledge and to share insights and wisdom with your ideal clients. But the problem from a marketing copywriting perspective is then we tend to write in a way that's just too far beyond where our ideal clients are at. So our words tend to not resonate as deeply as they could because we forget the struggle, the pain, where our clients are, the pain points that they have, and how they're trying to get from A to B. We forget what that looks like because, you know, maybe we experienced it 5, 10 years ago. Maybe even if it's been 6 months ago, it can be really hard to get yourself back in that place. So you want to go back through and you want to think to yourself, look back on what you've written down, where is your ideal client at? And then you want to ask yourself, you know, where are they at on the journey? Like, what stage of life are they in, or stage of business are they in? What's led them to your sales page to begin with? Why are they there? What is it that they're seeking? Like, what brought them there to begin with? And once you can kind of get in that place and get in the right zone and the right headspace of where your ideal client might be at in their life or in their business or their relationship, whatever it is that you support them with, once you can get into that frame of mind, you can start to think really clearly about what are some of the challenges that they're facing, the immediate problems that they want to resolve in their life. What are some of those internal motivations for them wanting to solve these problems? So kind of going through now and looking at your sales page through the lens of your ideal client and asking yourself, does this speak to where I'm at in my journey? Would I be compelled to keep reading? Would I feel as though I'm being seen, heard, and understood as I read the copy on this page? Or is this speaking to someone that's beyond me? Or is this speaking to a different type of client because you haven't honed in on the exact client that you feel would truly be the most beneficial client for the type of service it is that you're providing? So once we're really clear on who we're talking to and who the client is, then I go in and I look at the sales page. And the very first section that I look at and I analyze pretty hard is it's called the hero section of your, you know, any website. It's that top section. Usually there's like a big image or a color block in the top and followed by a headline and a subtitle. And sometimes there's a call to action, right? Like buy now or see what's included in that top section. So that's a really important piece of real estate, as they say in marketing terms, because it's the first thing that your ideal audience or your people are going to see when they land on your webpage. So really, you don't have a lot of time to let people know what your course is about or what this service or offering is. So you want to try to let people know immediately kind of what this is, who it's for, and why it matters. So if you can answer those three things in the above the fold section, that very top section, the hero section of any of your web pages, that's going to tell people immediately, is this for me? Or should I keep scrolling? Should I leave the website? Like immediately, people will know. And if you can give them enough of the right information so that you're speaking to the right audience, most of the time, if they're in a position to actually purchase a service like you're offering right now, they're going to be intrigued and they're going to want to keep scrolling. And then as they move down the page, you can sort of walk them through the steps and the process and the problems and the things, the reason why they're there. You can basically take them through the journey of maybe where they're at, meet them with the problem that led them there in the first place and talk about how your offering helps support them with this and why it matters. You can start to explain it further. You know, you don't have a lot of space to write much copy in the hero section of your website. So you're going to want to use that as your overarching sort of theme and idea to help you write the rest of the copy to sort of stay on point with what it is that you said in your headline or what your main title of your page is all about or your subtitle, so that it kind of makes sense. You can keep expanding on that as they move further down the page. So then they're really clear about whether or not they're in the right place. The other thing that I look for is it easy to read? Is it easy to scan? As I kind of jump through the various sections on the page, because most people, they're scanning your page. They're not reading the entire page word for word. So as I scan through the page, I'm kind of looking at the headings and the subheadings to see if they're clear. You know, do they make me kind of want to go, oh, okay, that's interesting, and stop to read to see what is included? Do you have headings and subheadings to make your copy easier to digest so that it's not just one massive block of text with no breaks for my eyes? All of these things help keep your audience engaged in what it is that they're reading and helps to also make what it is that you're selling clear. It makes that communication clear by using headings and subheadings. So I want to make sure that the subheadings are clear, but they're also compelling enough. They include enough information that kind of piques my curiosity so that I can jump to the various sections of the page that I feel are relevant or that I care about without having to commit to the entire sales page if I don't want to. So the next thing that I'm really looking at is I want to know, do I feel a good sense of who this service or this course or this offering is for? Do I have a good sense of what this service is or what this course is? Do I have a good sense of who it's for? Is it clear to me the person that we're speaking to who would be the best fit? And is it clear to me why it is important? Most people talk about the what and the who, and they forget about the why, or they don't focus on it as much. And the why is really one of the most driving factors for people. If they are on your sales page, they may want to learn about your trauma-informed modality as a practitioner, but why does that matter to them? Why does it matter? Is it so they can grow their business and their practice and keep it afloat? Is it so that they can build more confidence when they're with their clients and not feel panicky when trauma comes up in a therapy session and they don't know how to navigate it? Like, what are their reasons? And so kind of getting clear about why would this matter to someone is going to be really more important than anything else, because then it starts to speak to their internal motivations for why they're there in the first place. And those are the things that not everyone talks about. We don't always talk about the internal motivations. We usually kind of keep it kind of surface level, and we might just talk to our friends about what we want to do, why we, a struggle that we're having, and, you know, like, why we want to solve it, but we don't necessarily get into those deeper things. And when we can speak to those deeper things, people really feel validated. They feel seen. They feel heard. They feel understood. And most importantly, they know that you get them. They say, yes, this thing is for me. Like, this person really gets me. So the next thing is, do you feel a sense of trustworthiness when you read and scan through the page? One of the ways that you can help build more credibility on your sales page is by having case studies and testimonials. But sometimes people use testimonials that are not necessarily going to help build and establish that trust and credibility with your audience. So for an example, sometimes I come across testimonials for clients and they'll say things like, oh, Janet was really lovely to work with. She was on time for all of our sessions. I would recommend her to my friends. And that really doesn't tell anyone anything other than Janet is a prompt individual. And as a potential client who's looking to work with you, we want to understand really, like, what is the transformation that Janet has been able to help her clients have? What has Janet been able to do for her clients? What has this course been able to help Janet's clients do for their business, for their relationships, for their lives, whatever it is that Janet's selling. We want to be able to see the transformation that's happened, and that helps to build credibility for yourself. And of course, there are other ways that we can build trust and credibility, but this is one of the things that I'm looking for, because unfortunately, sometimes I come across clients who have testimonials like these, and there's really probably not much point in even including those types of testimonials on your sales page because they're really not doing much for you. So it's better to try to get to more of the transformation. So asking your clients how they were feeling, you know, before they started working with you, and how they feel after will kind of give that clear before and after picture. So using testimonials like that is going to be much more engaging for your audience. It's going to be much more interesting for them. Another big component that I look at is the design of your sales page, the structure, the layout, maybe the colors, the fonts, the imagery, all of this I'm just kind of lumping into the design category. Is it detracting from your message? A lot of times, a lot of sales pages that I critique, this is an area that I would say scores quite low on a lot of sales pages. And just by simply changing the structure and the way that certain things are laid out can majorly enhance the effectiveness of your sales page. So one of my biggest pet peeves, and I see this on so many websites and so many people that come to me, you know, and it's a small fix, is seeing people with these massive line lengths that completely obliterate my screen. So as an example, I will go to someone's sales page and there are just massive blocks of text, for instance, that's another pet peeve, but massive blocks of text where my eyes don't have a break, it just makes it hard to read. And there's a lot of the sentences are, you know, the word, when I say line lengths, I'm talking about the amount of words on one line that spans the width of your web screen or your website. On a mobile phone, this isn't going to be an issue. On a smaller device like an iPad, it's not going to be an issue. On a 13-inch laptop, it's less of an issue, but it's still an issue. And when you get onto bigger screens, like I have a 27-inch screen, it's illegible. You cannot read this thing. I won't stop and read it. I won't even do it on my 15-inch laptop because when there's long line length, so anything over like 17 words, I coach my clients to narrow that content width down. I usually say anywhere between 12 to 17 words is a good line length. Of course, depending on your text, your font size, that can all impact this as well. So it's not as cut and dry as that, but typically a good sort of rule to follow is no more words than 12 to 17 words across in one line. So hopefully that kind of makes sense. It's hard to illustrate. You can't see my hands going here on this podcast, but anything longer than that, it becomes really challenging to read, especially on a screen, and I'm not going to read it. So I see this with a lot of clients who come to see me for copy critiques or just any websites that I see in general. And it's very frustrating because it is just impossible for my eyes to read. So sometimes the design of your sales page, maybe the copy you've written is pretty good. Maybe it's pretty decent. It's clear. Maybe you've got most of the key elements, but the design is detracting from what it is that you have to say, making it impossible to understand what it is that you're even selling, or making it like unpleasant for people to try to understand what you're selling. So again, taking into consideration the different screens that people are using. Don't just put a sales page up and design it from your desktop without testing it on a mobile app or using an iPad. If you use Divi like I do, then you can test this easily when you're designing. You can easily switch to mobile and different responsive screen sizes and things like that to design for different screen sizes. I love that about Divi. It makes it super easy. I think one of the biggest culprits that I see this line length problem happening with is Squarespace websites. They seem to be notorious for having this problem. I think, you know, people are putting in these blocks and entering their text and it looks fine on their smaller screen. Maybe they're working from a laptop or something else. And then suddenly it is just too big. You go on a bigger screen and it completely obliterates the screen. Not enjoyable at all. So the next thing that you want to be looking for is, do you have a clear call to action? Like, is it clear what you're asking your people or your ideal clients to do next? Sometimes we have just way too many call to actions. Like, there's five different buttons that you want me to click that take me five different places. That is very overwhelming and confusing for people. So ideally, you have one call to action that has one thing, and it would either be book your discovery call, enroll now in the course, buy this course now, like whatever it is. There's one call to action to make it easy for your people to not have to get bogged down in all of the details and trying to decide what should I be clicking, which one should I choose. It can be very distracting and very overwhelming. So make sure you have a clear call to action and you're clear what you want people to do. And if you have a longer sales page, don't wait until it's right at the very bottom of the sales page. I came across a sales page recently that had a lot of copy on the page and I was scrolling forever to kind of get to the button to tell me how much this thing is. If you're going to have a super long sales page, make sure there's a few clear call to actions at various points throughout your sales page. So the next tip is to just give it space. This is a huge tip, probably one of the most important tips out of the whole list, because when you can walk away from it and come back, sleep on it. I like to give a week, actually. When I'm working for clients, I like to give myself a week. Not always possible when I'm doing a sales page critique. If I'm writing for someone, absolutely, I give myself a week. But if I'm doing a sales page critique, there's a few days and there are 2 or 3 days. Even when I'm doing something, I'll work on aspects of it, come back to it later, review it again, see what I missed, see what I'd like to change. And the more you can give it breathing space, the better it's going to be. So read it multiple times and go through this checklist again and see where maybe you could tighten things up a little bit, where maybe you've had too many sentences that have run on too long, where things could be tweaked a little so that it's clearer for your audience to kind of understand what's being offered. And the 10th and final tip is to get feedback. Feedback is also a really important one because when you're in it, it's really easy to get kind of lost in the weeds and to get bogged down in the details and to not really be able to see. It's like when you're too close to it and you're in it, it's really hard to have that outside perspective. So obviously getting feedback. You could work with someone who does copy critiques. Like I mentioned, that's one of my top selling services. Or you could simply ask a friend, or you could ask someone who does work that is similar to yours, who might have some knowledge. Maybe you could ask a past client or some people that you've done market research with and get their feedback on their sales page and ask them, if you were in the market to buy this service, what about this offering is appealing to you? What about it would make you maybe close the web page down and kind of not look any further? So getting feedback is a really important piece, whether it's from a professional who does this as part of their job or from someone who has some knowledge about what it is that you're offering and can be able to look at it through the eyes of your ideal client, maybe someone who's experienced it themselves, and to be able to give you that really genuine, heartfelt feedback that you really need to make sure that you're kind of hitting all the main points in your sales page. And that's kind of it for the main things that I cover. Of course, there's always little kind of things that I'm looking for. But in general, those are the things that you need to kind of have covered. You want to have your bases covered. Really, the most important thing is it clearly speaking to your ideal audience? And if you're feeling too close to that question, then ask someone else who knows your ideal audience or ask someone else who has been through that, who could be an ideal client of yours and ask for their opinion. This is really, really important, and get some tips and some feedback on some changes you can make and also to find out what's working so you feel encouraged and reassured about the offer that you're putting out. Because nothing feels better when you have a really clear offer that you can put out. And even more so than your clients, it helps you to be able to communicate that clearly. It builds confidence. When you're selling something, you can feel confident in what you're selling when you're clear about what it is, who you serve, and why it matters. That's it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks so much, and I'll see you again next week. Thanks for listening to the Business by Intuition podcast with me, your host, Krista Bauer. I hope you've enjoyed today's insights and will take some time to reflect on how you can implement this guidance and use it to help you create a sustainable business following your intuition, not formulas. As always, you can head over to KristaBauer.com/podcast to sign up for my email list and get the links and resources in the show notes. If you love today's episode and would like to support this podcast, please consider leaving a review and subscribe so you can tune in next time. Thank you so much for being here. I'll see you again soon.